Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. We can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the SIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
Welcome on into a Tuesday installment of All Things Sports. This is our daily sports talk show. We call it the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial. Live streaming with video as well on the Fox Sports Aberdeen Facebook page. Aberdeen Central graduate and soon-to-be golfer, SDSU Jackrabbit soon-to-be golfer, Olivia Braun. She'll be joining us live in studio quarter past the hour. Talk some Aberdeen Smitty's baseball as time permits. The SDGA Junior Tour, the Northeast leg, was at Lake Region Golf Course in Arlington yesterday. And the Home Run Derby going on there yesterday as well. And we'll talk about all of that and much, much more as the Twins, of course, in the midst of the All-Star break. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by Matt McClure here on a Tuesday. Good morning, sir. How are things with you?
Doing pretty good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing okay. Not too bad. I got the ring in the mail here yesterday.
Oh.
It's not the same one, but, you know, this is like the, what's it called? Silicone model. So it's something. I'm not naked out there anymore.
There you go.
Although it should be pointed out, today is National Naked Day.
Okay.
So for those of you watching on the Fox Sports Aberdeen Facebook page, it's just a blank screen. Now, we don't want any CCTV violations or anything like that. Just a black screen, lots of editing, what have you. No, don't show up to work today naked. That would be probably a trip to the jail cell.
You'd probably be on my latest segment, A Stupid Criminal.
Yeah.
There you go.
On Pheasant Country.
Pheasant Country, every weekday, 8:50. So, yeah, don't do that.
There you go. A little shameless plug. That's not shameless plug. That's good stuff. A little cross-promotion. I love cross-promotion on these airwaves, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so there you go. Check out Matt McClure. Of course, you're till noon, right?
I'm till noon, and yep. Then you follow.
That's right. Yeah, it's Cobra from 6 a.m. till 12 noon over on Pheasant Country 103. And that is our brother station or sister. Why is it always sister station?
I don't know.
Hear that all the time. Oh, over on our sister station. Why not great uncle's station or nephew's station?
Is it the ring to it?
I guess.
I guess sister station sounds better. I don't know.
Yeah, I suppose. But there you go. That's the Cobra lineup. And the more you know on that one. All right, the sound that he makes is just that. So let's go ahead and toss this thing skyward for the jump on Fox Sports Aberdeen. As Olivia Braun's set to join us here in the next 10 minutes. But Cobra, if you will indulge me for just a second. We're sitting down to dinner last night. I've got two daughters. One of them is three. The other one is one. She's not quite really speaking full sentences yet, but the occasional word here or there. She'll say ball. She'll say bye-bye. She'll say da-da, mama. Those sorts of things.
She's saying Seahawks yet?
Not quite yet. That's the next one. That's the next one that we got to get her learning, for sure. But my three-year-old, full sentences, the whole shebang. She's got a lot of personality. And I have made it quite apparent and quite clear on these airwaves my fandom about that Lindy's Sports magazine, that football magazine.
Yeah.
So I've got it on the kitchen table there last night as we're eating dinner. You know, we're talking about our day, this sort of thing. And the conversation kind of gets to a little bit of a lull, so I start thumbing through the magazine, and I say, let's play a game of turf or grass,
okay.
And I'm going to every single team,
uh-huh.
And I say, okay, Lucy, Here we go. Baltimore Ravens. Do they play on natural grass or field turf? And, you know, it was just a fun game. So, you know, it's just a dad moment with a three-year-old daughter. You know, you talk about insane levels of sports fandom. That's the Tewksbury dinner table last night. Hey, do the Ravens play on grass or field turf?
Oh, I love that. That's awesome. And you're probably sitting there and you're obviously talking about it this morning. That's a great moment for you. And I think it's funny. You're swiping through the magazine. You're like, what can I come up with here? And
exactly.
That's what you came up with. And that probably turned out to be a pretty fun dinner at the end of the day.
It was like 25 minutes. Oh, the Browns play on grass? Had no idea. I mean, of course, she has. I mean, I know, but she doesn't know.
Yeah, you're playing a game.
Exactly. So,
that's awesome.
So a big shout out to all the parents out there looking for a way to get their sons or daughters involved in dinner time and something sports related. Enjoy the game of turf or grass. Something to think about. So off the air, we were talking about the All-Star game and the All-Star break and the Home Run Derby, which was last night. For what it's worth, Jordan Walker, he won the Home Run Derby there last night. And kind of a cool deal. The Home Run Derby prize is $1 million, so he gets $1 million in his bank. It's a pretty cool deal. His salary, $799,000 for the regular season. So he made more money last night by winning the Home Run Derby than he will the entire season just by playing for the Cardinals.
He was also the first Cardinal I saw to win the Home Run Derby, which I thought was crazy.
Found that hard to believe.
Yeah, I saw that this morning. I'm like, wait a second, that doesn't seem right. Without Albert Pujols was a Cardinal. He never won it. I guess. So Jordan Walker, first Cardinal to ever win it, and made more in the Home Run Derby than his original salary. Pretty special. And how he won it was crazy, too. I think he hit six straight homers to end it because he had to get – Schwarber had five.
Okay.
So he had to hit six in a row. I think he had, like, one out left or something like that. I didn't watch it because it was on Netflix. That's besides the point. But
yeah.
I didn't want to see if Jameis Winston was on the coverage or not, but he hit six home runs, and it was kind of a cool moment there. I miss Chris Berman, though.
Oh, back, gone. I saw a great tweet this morning. It was just a photo of Chris Berman. It was just back, like, 90 times in a row. Like, that's fantastic. I'm with you. I didn't watch it last night. It was around 7:30, 8 o'clock, and I was like, what's going on? Oh, Home Run Derby night. Okay, toss it on, pop up the YouTube TV. Nowhere to be found. All right, let's go on with the rest of my day.
I retweeted this. This is from Jordan Moore, some guy. You know, he tweeted it out. He says a professional sports watcher. I don't know. It was just funny. It's a picture of Chris Berman, and it says Home Run Derby night, and I miss him so much.
Yeah.
It's so true. It's just not the same. Oh, I don't know. There was, like, people were saying it was rigged, too, because Netflix put up a graphic. I don't know if you saw this. Netflix put up a graphic of the winner of the 2026 Home Run Derby, Jordan Walker, before it was done.
Ooh.
So, people, there's the conspiracy theorists out there as well.
Tinfoil hat guy.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe onto something there, or some time travelers or something like that. Pretty wild stuff. Well, speaking of things that we didn't see, you weren't alive. I wasn't alive either. This popped up on my social media feed, Cobra, and I had no idea. I think I know a lot about the National Football League. You're an NFL fan. You know stuff about the NFL. You know the history. You talk to your dad all the time.
Yep.
Your dad's always telling you about, hey, check out this cool story or this, that, and the third. And this popped up on my social media feed, and I was that day years old when I figured out this actually happened, okay? 1980. The San Francisco 49ers had a quarterback named Steve DeBerg, okay? People, everyone knows who Joe Montana is and Steve Young and all these guys, but before those guys was Steve DeBerg. Now, he developed a case of laryngitis, okay? Bad news for a quarterback on a Sunday. To project his voice on the field, a speaker was attached underneath his nameplate and the back of his shoulder pads, and he had a microphone inside his helmet. And I thought to myself, this has got to be AI. There's no way this actually happened. That happened in 1980.
Look at this picture.
I know. That actually happened. I said, what the heck is that?
It's got a mic right next to his face. I, the speaker in the back of the jersey.
Yes.
Is hilarious. I'm surprised we haven't seen that more.
I've never seen this before. It popped up on my feed, and I could not believe it. He's got the microphone there. He's got the speaker is underneath his nameplate. And I was like, how did I never know about this before?
Oh, I can't believe I've never seen this before. I'm with you. This is news to me. That's incredible.
Yeah.
How have I not seen that?
That's what I said. I'm like, we're a couple of football psychos. We know a lot about the game.
Especially, like, I'm surprised. And it might be, like, have you ever seen those? My dad has the collection of the Super Bowl DVDs from, like, 1965 to, I think, when the Seahawks played. So that was in 2005.
Sure.
The first one,
mm-hmm.
when they played the Steelers. He has every one. And we would watch those. I'm sure there has to be something on that. There just had John Facenda's voice on that.
Yeah.
It's got to be out there.
Steve DeBerg had a bad voice. Incoming is the microphone.
Yeah.
I don't know. But like,
just something like that.
I'd never seen that before.
Oh, that's good stuff.
You just never know what you're going to get on the Sports Hub here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And finally, speaking of things you just didn't expect, this is not quite to that extreme, but maybe it is. I don't know. But I saw this on social media. Ross Tucker was tweeting this out. He had some guy on a podcast, and he was talking about kickers.
Mm.
Okay? And he said one of the craziest stats that he has heard in the year 2000, if you really think about it, it's not that long ago, 26 years ago. In the year 2000, there was one field goal that year made of 55-plus. One.
Mm.
Any guesses on how many last year were 55-plus that were made?
I'm going to go 25.
74.
What?
There were 74 field goals made last year of 55 or more, and 26 years prior, just one.
That's crazy. And that we've talked about this before, but that's why teams, their goal now is to get to the 50-yard line and see if, hey, we need 5 yards and make this a 55-yarder. I mean, these kickers, I don't know if it's the footballs, they're just better, the technology, but a 55-yard field goal today is like a 40-yard field goal 15, 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's almost on. If you miss a 55-yard field goal today, it's not like, oh, my gosh, you know, that was a really tough kick. It's just not. I mean, that Aubrey guy for Dallas is the first guy that comes to my mind. If you're a Cowboys fan, it's like, all right, we got the ball at their 45. Let's kick it. And let's get 3 points. That's an insane 74 kicks over 55. The game has just completely changed.
And the kick goes out of bounds. You're at the 40-yard line there. You need a first down, and you're in field goal range.
Yeah, you need 15 to 20 yards now, it seems like. If you're around the 40-yard line, your own 40, if you get to the opposing 40, even at midfield, you're seeing guys take kicks. It's just unbelievable. There was a 70-yarder made by that dude in preseason for the Jaguars last year.
That's right.
It's unbelievable. And that's why, like, there's guys that make maybe a lot of kicks, but if they don't make those long ones, teams are cutting those kickers now. It's like if you don't make a 52, 53, 55-yarder, you're done. It's just the nature of the business now. It's crazy.
Yeah, that number blew my mind. One field goal, 55 or more, 26 years ago, 74 in one single season this last year. Coming up next around these parts, speaking of people that can bomb it, we've got Olivia Braun joining us live in studio. She'll join us after the quick break on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen for a Tuesday installment of the program on FSA. Happy Bastille Day for those of you that mean something to them. Matt McClure, David Tewksbury, and Olivia Braun joining us live in studio. Thanks for popping in this morning. How are things with you?
I mean, it's pretty good. Middle of the summer, just kind of waiting for school to start.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're kind of talking off the air about roommates and this sort of thing. Of course, you're going down to SDSU. You said you're excited. Any nerves about being a freshman in college or none at all?
I mean, I think there's a little bit of nerves there. I mean, you know, a lot of changes going on there, but I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, and we were talking a little bit off the air as well. You know, in the high school season, it's just kind of like the spring and the summer, but at SDSU, it's a fall and spring season. Is that right? And how does that kind of work?
Yeah, that's correct. I'm kind of going with the flow going into SDSU. So, I mean, a lot of changes there being both the fall and the spring and having to kind of move south for some of the tournaments. So, yeah, we'll see.
Well, you've played all over the map anyway. I mean, you've played in Arizona. You've played out in California there at Pebble Beach, and I actually just finished a Vern Lundquist book and he was on hole number 16 at the Masters, and he was talking about Pebble Beach, and I was like, hey, I know someone that played at Pebble Beach not that long ago. Do you have a highlight of your high school career in terms of where you've played? I know that's got to be up there.
Yeah.
You know, here in your backyard, Moccasin Creek, pretty good too. But do you have some highlights from your high school career of where you've played and why those places maybe are a notch above some of the rest?
Yeah, I mean, golf has brought me so many great opportunities, like Pebble Beach. And I don't think I could ever top that week when I went out and played Pebble Beach. I mean, that was just like, that's definitely a memory I'll hold with myself forever.
Awesome. And this past week you were there in Sioux Falls. And was that the first time you played in like a three-day type tournament? Like, I know during the high school season it's 2 days, and that SDGA Sanford, it's usually just 2 days. Was that the first time you played like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday deal?
So actually it's not. They also have a junior tour event that was out in Red Rock this year, and that's kind of like, it's like a junior championship, they call it. And that's a three-day tournament too. So I've played in a couple of them the past couple years.
Olivia Brunn is our guest here live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. I think I asked you this before, but I'll ask you again for those of you that maybe did not hear it. But you win the state championship this year for the second time in a row. And for those of the listeners out there that didn't hear that discussion, was it more fun to win this year or was it more pressure? Because when you win it the first year, how incredible that is, but then you got to defend the title. Can you kind of walk us through what that was like?
Yeah, for sure. I think the first year I won it was more fun, just because I didn't know what to expect, and then I was like, oh my goodness, you know, I won, and my teammates were also excited because we won the state championship like as a team too, and so it was really fun my junior year. But this year it was definitely a little different feel, just because a lot of my teammates were seniors, and it was their last year too. And so I think we were all just kind of hoping to go out and play our best because it's our last high school tournament. Mm-hmm. And maybe there was a little pressure there, but honestly, I was like just going out trying to play my own game and hopefully play the best I can, since it was my last tournament of my high school career. And I think I did that pretty well, and I think my whole team was pretty happy at the end too.
Yeah, and did you feel like coming into these tournaments just with the – gals that were on this team, you, Emma Dore, Wireball, and others, did you feel like you had a target on your back coming into these tournaments? Because you guys, you know, were the best when you talk about the team type of things as well.
Yeah, for sure. There was definitely like a chance for us to win every like tournament there was that we played in. But two of our teammates were gone for like two meets or something, and we only lost one meet this year that when we had our full team. Mm-hmm. And so I think there was like going into the state tournament, there was definitely like that thought in the back of our head saying, well, we're probably gonna win this if we play our own game and play well. And yeah,
can you walk us through sort of the pressure that goes along with being a state champion? Because we're big Aberdeen Central golf fans here. We're big fans of you. We're big fans of Zim and the whole program, all the players. But when you win it, everybody just expects you to win it again, given the fact that everyone's back. Can you walk us through being out on the golf course every single meet, knowing that there is a target on your back, knowing that the expectation is, well, Central's playing, they're going to win this thing. What's that like?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty great feeling, honestly, when you, like, step back and look at it. For me, I definitely, like, there was definitely a target on my back, and I knew that in the back of my head, but I knew, like, how much preparation I put into my golf game, and I knew that I could, like, trust my golf game, and it's golf. If I have a bad day, then I have a bad day, and if somebody beats me, like, good for them because they golfed well.
Did that take you a while to realize that last thing you just talked about there, you know, the mental aspect of the game? Like, hey, golf happens. You're not going to hit a perfect shot every time. You got to move on. If somebody beats you, they beat you. I'm sure that maybe took some maturity and growth as the seasons have gone by, or not so much?
Yeah, 100%. If you would have asked me that same question probably in the seventh grade, it probably would have been differently. But I think every golf tournament I play, like, my mental game gets a little stronger, and I think I'm, like, doing really well with that aspect of the game right now.
How do you calm down on the golf course? Because I'll share you a funny story with you. We're playing in a golf tournament here last month.
Yeah.
I think it was last month. And out at Rolling Hills, they gave you a certain golf ball that if you kept this golf ball throughout the entire round, then you go into the split pot. I am not letting this go because it's still in my head. I get up to the 17th hole and I just yank it into the bushes and there the ball goes. I lost my stuff. I was so upset, so despondent. And I took my club, and I just, there might have been a slight throw, not a chuck, but there might have been a little bit of a toss there. How do you keep your cool when you don't have a shot that you wanted?
Yeah, I mean, I think I try to go into these golf tournaments like expecting those bad shots because everybody has them. And I think that kind of helps me deal with the bad shots a little bit more. But I mean, there are some times I do get angry on the golf course, and I just have to remind myself that like the shot behind me is out of my control. Like I can't do anything about it. And I think I'm definitely trying to work on like leaving it in the past and just trying to focus on the next shot, because you never know, the next shot could be like the best shot of your golf career. Mm-hmm. And you just have to find a way to get past those.
Well, Tukes isn't giving himself enough credit, because on the 18th hole, we used his drive that was right down the middle. And then you hit that 50-foot putt for birdie. So yeah. You did, you know, able to turn it around. You were probably upset about it, but you still were able to turn it around there on the 18th hole.
That's true. That did happen. I did finish strong. But, yeah, I don't know if I'll ever get over that losing that ball. Just one of those things.
So here's a fun question. What's, like, one club in your bag you trust the most, and maybe one that you're like, I'd be okay with never seeing this club again?
I honestly don't have a club like that in my bag. Like, I'm not like, I need to get rid of this club. But I really like my, like, full swing wedges. So, like, 100 and in, like, I kind of like, I enjoy. But I don't really have a club I dislike all that much. So I think that's a good thing.
100 and in, what do you use?
I like the yardage is like 80 to 100, and it's like my 54 degree, like my sand wedge, or there's like a gap wedge and my pitching wedge. So
how are you about hitting in the bunkers in the sand? Are you comfortable with that? Because, you know, when I'm out there, people are out there like, I've never hit out of the bunker. How do you do this? I'm afraid to blade it right back into the bunker or anything like that. I feel like when you're at the level you're at, the bunker probably isn't that big of a deal. Did that take some time to get used to?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely had to practice bunker shots, but I actually really enjoy them, whether they be like a fairway bunker or a greenside bunker. I'm okay with being in them.
Wow. Have you always been that way?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
This is crazy.
So last time we had you in, you said you liked playing in the wind.
Right.
And you say you play really well in the wind. And when we heard that, we talked about it a time or two, we were just flabbergasted by that. We're like, how can you play well in the wind? You know, why? Can you just explain to folks why that is again, that you like playing in the wind?
Yeah, in any like bad conditions, really, just because I know I beat some of the people mentally already, because I see a lot of people go out there being like, oh, we have to play in this weather, you know, whether it be like really hot or rainy or windy. But so I kind of like going out there and just trying to have an open mindset, because everybody has to play in these conditions. And so if you're already thinking that way, you know, in my head, I'm like, okay, I already beat you mentally, because you're already saying, like, I can't do this, and you're having all those negative thoughts. And so I think that's kind of the reason I like doing it.
That's a really good point. Olivia Braun is joining us live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. So going back to the AA title, I think it was Ari Jacobs who had a really, really good first day. He had a good first day, too, but she was just a couple of strokes ahead. When you are down by a couple of strokes going into the second day, or the final day of any tournament for that matter, are you kind of mentally coaching yourself on, hey, you know, on 6 I didn't do very well, on 9 I kind of missed this? I mean, do you go by shot that you maybe didn't like and say, okay, if I can just change this approach shot? I mean, how do you sort of coach yourself to the next day of a tournament?
Yeah, I honestly don't try to think about the last day, because I'm not going to have the same golf game I did on the first day than the second day. And then I just try to play like the second day as a brand new day. And I just try to go out there and play my best game and focus on myself and try to play whatever golf gives me that day. It was definitely like a kick in the butt almost, just to saying like, okay, you know, I got to come out this second day, because I played with her the last day. Mm-hmm. And I got to come out and kind of just play good golf, because Ari Jacobs, she's a great player, you know, but she's young. And I've seen like a bunch of young people, you know, whenever they play well the first day, they kind of crumble the second day. And I think that's maybe because they haven't had a lot of experience. So I kind of just knew if I played my own game and stayed patient, then I maybe would pull it out.
How much do you go back? I mean, obviously you say you move on to the next shot, but like something that I do is just like, ah, like I posted this number. If I would have made this putt, it'd be an 88. Or if I make this putt, in your case, it'd be a 67 or something like that.
Yeah.
Do you do a lot of that or not so much? Or like after a round?
Oh,
obviously,
yeah.
When you're, you know, day two, you're probably not thinking
about
that.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think everybody does that. I mean, if you don't do that, I mean, I think you're – I don't know what you're doing. But, no, I think we definitely – I definitely pick it apart a little bit after the tournament, being like, oh, if I just would have done this or if I would have done that. Me and my grandpa, we definitely go back and forth with shots like that for a little bit. But at the end of the day, it's just like that's how I played. And I should be, like, happy and proud of it. So.
Yeah, you mentioned – Jacobs being somebody that's young, you know, young gal that, you know, was right there with you at the end there, the AA championship. Do you see any of your game in her a little bit or not so much? Any similarities there? No?
I think she definitely has potential. I mean, she showed that at the state tournament. Mm-hmm. And she's just a little bit inconsistent, but I think I was a little inconsistent at that age too. But she definitely has potential to be a good player and somebody I can compete against the next couple of years.
I think we were talking about this a couple of months back, is these things sort of happen in waves. For instance, when you were a freshman, you were kind of nipping at the heels, I think, Allison Myrink at the time.
Yep.
You're right there, just not quite there yet. Now I look at today, or I guess a couple months back now, and Ari Jacobs is nipping at your heels and just, maybe not quite there yet. Maybe she could be the next really, really good golfer in the state of South Dakota at the high school level. Left to wait and see. Do you have any words of advice for not just her, but the young and up-and-comers that are eighth graders and freshmen and sophomores that are trying to get to your level? Do you have any sort of wisdom you can impart upon them?
Yeah, I mean, if I was like talking down to when I was that age, I'd just kind of say, stay consistent, keep preparing, and just kind of stay patient with yourself. And, you know, after every round, you're getting, like, a little bit more mentally tough, I think. And I think that helps in the long run.
What would you say is your biggest golf pet peeve? Is it slow play, bad etiquette, something else that maybe I'm not thinking of?
Sunflower seeds? That's a big thing on golf courses.
I've never seen anybody have sunflower seeds when I'm playing, actually.
Okay.
But one of my pet peeves that I do is when I three putt. It just makes me instantly angry because it's just an unneeded stroke. But outside of that, probably when somebody like doesn't know the rules. Mm. I think that's kind of.
Well, here's a question that I get asked all the time when I'm playing. People like, what's the difference between like the hitting it out of the red stake and then there's the white stake?
Yeah.
Does that happen a lot? You know, I mean, obviously you mentioned people maybe not know the rules.
Yeah.
Can you maybe explain that for me and the listeners out there that are like, hey, what's the difference between the red and white stake?
Yeah, I think it's definitely different in high school just because it's not as like serious as college or, mm-hmm. you know, some of the summer tour events where people actually want to play like golf. But no, I think honestly looking back though, it's definitely like a great learning experience for me, just like trying to refresh my memory if somebody needs help and saying like, hey, how do I play this? And I think that's how I just try to look at it and be like, it's a great refresher for me because, you know, at the state tournament 2 years ago, I actually did get a stroke penalty because I pulled an OB stake, which I'm still a little sour about, but it's okay.
Do you have time for a second quick segment?
Sure.
All right, quick. Great. We'll take a quick break right here and right now. More with Olivia Braun after this on the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Welcome on into the Sports Hub on FSA. Matt McClure, David Tewksbury, and Olivia Braun joining us live in studio on this Tuesday morning edition of the program. Soon to be Jackrabbit, therefore SDSU, wrapping up her high school career for the Aberdeen Central Golden Eagles. Now, you take a look at what SDSU is getting in yourself. I think you take a look at their roster from top to bottom, and you're like, oh, I remember when she played at wherever and within the state. This is a pretty salty team going forward for the Jackrabbits. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair to say. We have four people coming in from my class.
Yeah.
So one of them is Rylan Horning. You know, she won the A class tournament, I think, last year.
Yeah, from St. Tommy. Yeah.
Yeah. I've played with her a couple times. She seems you know, like a nice kid, and I'm excited to get to know her. But the other two, I think, are coming from Colorado, so I'm excited to meet them. But unfortunately, they're losing Reese Janza and Mackenzie Majors, which she had a pretty good year this past year.
Sure. Is Reese graduating then, or is she transferring, or?
No, she's a senior. She's graduating.
Already?
Yeah. Sheesh. I know. I remember when I was in 7th and 8th grade, you know, looking up to her, being like, I want to be here someday, and, you know, here I am now.
Wow. Is there something that you're the most excited about, you know, going there? Is there something that you can pinpoint that's like, wow, I'm just super excited? Is it just, you know, starting your next chapter, or is there something specific there?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of starting my next chapter, but I also am really excited for the better competition. Just kind of playing against everybody who wants it as bad as I do. And I think that's going to make me a better player overall.
Did you feel like you got a taste of that at that amateur tournament this past weekend? Or how was that kind of?
Yeah, so there actually wasn't a lot of, like, older kids in it. It was a lot of junior kids. It was kind of almost a junior tournament it ended up to be. But, no, it was good because everybody always tries to show up for that tournament because it's a really big tournament this of the summer.
So you came in studio here today saying, I'm a little under the weather. You said you got a little something from your grandpa there a little bit. Does he always caddy for you in the summertime, or is that just kind of a once-off thing? I mean, when you're playing in high school, you're your own caddy, right? I mean,
yeah.
That's kind of the way it goes. Is he kind of your guy in the summertime? How does that work out?
Yeah, so he's probably seen 95% of my golf. Like, he's just, he knows everything about it, and there's a couple tournaments in the summer that he normally caddies for me, and he's really the only one available because my whole family aren't really into golf either, so it's kind of just me, always been me and him on the golf course, so.
So how does that happen? I mean, everybody in your family's not into golf? I mean, you're one of the best players in the state. How are they not into golf?
I know. My mom, like, she's maybe only golfed 50 times in her life, and I just kind of picked it up. We used to live out on Rolling Hills on hole number 9, and where I was like 4, 5, 6 years old, she would always take me out at nights, and we'd putt on the putting greens and, you know, have fun, and then my grandpa got me into first tee, and I think that's kind of where it kind of kicked off from there.
Awesome.
What do you think the most nervous you've ever been to hit a golf shot? Was it like a final putt there for one of the state tournaments? Was there another shot that maybe you can think of off the top of your head?
Yeah, for sure, definitely like my first 7th grade state tournament. I don't think I've ever been more nervous than that. Like, I wanted to play so well, and I wanted to like play some state. I was just like so excited, all the nerves and stuff. But that last putt of, like, my high school career, for sure, 100% too, is, like, you know, I had, like, a 3-footer.
Mm-hmm.
So you should make it, but, you know, it's golf. You never know. But definitely standing over that putt, there's kind of – I tried to quiet my brain, but, you know, there's definitely that back in my head. It's like, oh, my gosh, this is the last putt of my high school career. Like, you know, I gotta make it.
Hopefully it's your last putt of your high school career. You don't want to go into a playoff or anything like that. Olivia Braun joining us live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And I can't recall if I've asked you this once before or not, or maybe even already in this interview, maybe a different way to describe it. But how do you calm down in moments of, I got to make this putt, or I got to punch out really well here, or I got to get a good approach shot? How do you calm down? How do you find your center where you are at your best? How do you find that? How do you calm down mentally?
Yeah, I think it's a little different for everybody, but for me, I just try to kind of just think about the next shot and just try to quiet my brain. It's definitely different every day I wake up. You know, sometimes some days are easier than others to kind of calm myself down, but on the tough days, it's definitely really hard. So I just try to think about the next shot and, like I said, quiet my brain and, yeah.
Are you a deep breath person?
Not really. I don't find that helps me.
Mm-hmm.
I almost try to visualize my next shot. I'm more of like a visualize and like, yeah.
Are you somebody who's pretty superstitious at all, or not so much?
No, I really don't try to be. I know some people are like, oh my gosh, I have to wear my lucky socks or whatever. I'm not really that way.
Well, we went golfing with a guy last summer that was wearing a pair of Birkenstocks.
Oh.
That was different.
Yeah.
And we're like, hey, golf shoes, got to have golf shoes on. When this guy was pretty good. and he was going without the golf shoes and Birkenstocks. So maybe that was his.
And he said, like, "Hey, I just play better in Birks, so I wear them." I'm like, "Eh, you can probably get away with that here, but other courses probably not so much."
Yeah, Moccasin Creek, maybe not so much for sure. So, do you know your schedule next year with SDSU? Do you know the meets that you're going? Do you know the places that you're going? How does that work out?
Not yet, actually. They haven't dropped their schedule yet. So whenever they do, I can let you know. But
so major, do you have any majors up your sleeve already, or still undecided? How's that kind of working out from the classroom side of things?
So I think I'm going to go into engineering. I'm not sure which type yet. We're going to take a couple of classes and figure it out. I'm really strong in my math and sciences, so I kind of want to go somewhere in that development.
What do you think will be the biggest adjustment from high school to college? You already maybe talked about this. Do you think it's just going to be the competition, or is there something else that you're thinking?
Yeah, for golf, I think it's definitely, like, the better competition I'm excited for. But, like, on the school side of things and, like, living on my own, that'll definitely be a big change, and that I'll have to find a way to find my own routine and stuff.
That's a quick drive back up to Aberdeen if you have kind of a challenging week in the classroom or something like that, and a lot of FaceTimes, I'm sure, to mom or dad. Yeah, we don't talk about the classroom stuff too much, but finishing with a 4.0, right? That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, I try to do well in my schooling because I know that's important too, you know, probably almost as much as golf is. But, yeah, I mean, I try to study hard and do well. So
I guess my advice would be, you know, I'll share this story, but my first ever college paper I wrote, I got a zero on it because I didn't reach the length of the page. So if it says, hey, it needs to be 4 pages. Make sure it's 4 or more. I learned that the hard way. I did 3.75 and got a zero. Mm. And I remember I called my dad. I'm like, hey, got a zero. What do I do? He's like, you got to talk to the professor. You can't start off college in English with a zero. So that would be my advice. If you got a paper, make sure it's the right length.
Yeah.
Times New Roman, double spaced, name is upper left.
That's rough.
I'll never forget. I think I got either a D plus or a C minus on my first paper. And I've always been a pretty good writer, I think. At the time, I thought I was a pretty good writer. Then I had my first class. And I was like, what the? D plus? I never got one of these in my life. So it's definitely different for sure. Do you have any kind of final thoughts, words of encouragement for anybody else, or you know, what's next for you for the rest of the summer? I'll give you kind of the final moment here.
I got a couple tournaments left. There's like the senior or the series championship that's out at Sutton Bay, actually. Mm. That's the 20th, I think, of this month. And then the South Dakota match play is actually here in town, which I'm super excited for. That's at the end of the month. It's the 30th through the 1st, I think. And then I'm off to college.
Wow.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. And we had you in when you were a freshman. And just to see how you've grown up from – you know, kind of this wide-eyed freshman, like, I'm not so sure. I talk into this thing. I don't really want to. And now you're one of the best golfers in the state, which is pretty cool. So congratulations on an outstanding high school career. We're going to be following you there in Brookings, and we wish you nothing but the best.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. That's Olivia Braun joining us live in studio here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. More local notes after this quick break on FSA. Final segment for your Tuesday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Terry Dosh, soon to be Hall of Fame inductee. He'll be joining us live on the program tomorrow at 10:15. And our thanks to Olivia Braun for taking some time out of her schedule to join us. And we were talking off the air about her. And it's so true that when she was here with when she was a freshman, Coach Zimmerman was here. Her mom was here. You know, you're a 14, 15-year-old and you're a little bit intimidated by the big dreaded radio guys. But, you know, that's the way it is when you're that young and a freshman. And just you could see the growth and maturation process mentally and just how good of a player she is. It's cool to me and for a guy like you, I think, as well, to just see the growth of these men and women or boys. And they turn out to be a man or a girl that turns out to be a woman in just a short amount of time. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of maturity, and that's what came to my head immediately. It was like, wow. I mean, she really, you know, did great with that interview. We asked her some tough questions, some fun questions, and I just remember a couple years ago when her mom and Coach Zimmerman were in here, and she was nervous about it. So I think it's just really cool to see. She's one heck of a golfer, and just getting her perspective. You know, I play a lot of golf, and just hearing her perspective compared to mine on certain things, it's just night and day. I always say it. I've said it a time or two on this program. You already know what I'm going to say.
I do.
There's levels to this, and she's just on a different level than a lot of these golfers.
Not to be morbid, but you know, when you die and that you've got your gravestone, you know, for me, I'd like to have something like ever onward, always forward, never backward on there. For you, it should be Matt McClure. There's levels to this. That's good. I like it, and it's so true, and it's very, very spot on and how there are levels to her game and levels to just – golf in general, and the fact that this Central girls team has had this sort of run with her kind of as the quarterback of it has been really, really cool. And obviously they're going to go for the three-peat next year, but you're going to lose a lot of seniors. It's going to be a different team, but this run that Central has had over the last couple of years with Coach Zimmerman and everybody else a part of that program has been really, really fun to watch.
Oh, it really has, and they've been through some ups, some downs, you know, I think individually and as a team, and we've talked to Coach Zimmerman about that, but they know the expectation. They knew the expectation individually and as a team, and they were able to answer the call, and I think that's – shows a lot about their character, their, you know, ability to just move on to the next shot. I mean, there's a lot of pressure. I mean, we talk about during springtime, we talk a lot about Central golf. We look at scores. We see what you did. And there's a lot of pressure with that. And they were able to just handle it really well. And shout out to Coach Zimmerman and that program, because they've kind of built something special there with this group. And it's going to be interesting to see with a lot of these seniors now graduating and moving on to whatever they're doing in college or whatever they do. How does this new group come in? And I'll be looking forward to next spring to see how that shakes out.
I'm also curious to see how Rylan Horning does along with Braun there, because you go from West River all the way east. And I didn't realize that Rylan – we don't really follow a whole lot of St. Thomas More golf here on these airwaves. Heck, maybe we should do a little bit more, I guess. But obviously, we know how good that she is. I didn't realize that she was also going to SDSU. So that's pretty cool. And, you know, I've said it multiple times, and you as well, that golf in the state of South Dakota, on the girls' side in particular, is in a really, really good spot. And I think you got two gals like Horning and Braun and Bryn Rorick, J.C. Pugh, the list of Claire Crawford, Mackenzie Wegehop could be another one of those names here going forward of a really, really good golfer. So it's in a really, really good spot, no question. The Aberdeen Smitties, yesterday they traveled down south on I-29. They would take on Renner for a pair of games against Post 307. They would fall 6-0 in Game 1 and then falling 13-8 in Game 2. And you talked about it with Rob G here about a week and a half or so ago as he joined you in studio. And I think it's spot on, and it's not necessarily breaking news because Josh Steinwant said as much. It's the one inning. It's the one inning for the Smitties every single night whenever they lose. Whenever they win, there's no bad inning.
Nope.
Whenever they lose, there's one bad inning. There was an inning yesterday where there was a 5-spot, and there was an inning yesterday where there was an 8-spot. If you take away this one bad inning, the Aberdeen Smitties, they're 9-22 right now. Heck, they could be 22-9 if you just avoid that bad inning.
Yeah, it's been kind of the Achilles heel, and we talked to Coach Steinwant about it on this program, and we had Tyson Lean on Thursday, and he talked, or on Friday, I think it was Thursday's show last week, and Tukes, he mentioned it as well, like, we're close, we're there, but it's those one inning here and there, whether it's the second inning, the sixth. I mean, they played last week against Harrisburg. They tie the game up at 4.
Yeah.
J.L. Vils, I talked about it on the show. He's one of the best slides I've seen. He's avoiding the tag. He, like, gets skinny, gets his left hand, and they tie the game. Next inning, they score, I believe it was 5 or 6, and you're back into that hole, and things started to spiral from there. Now, they had a five-run bottom of the inning, but you were just playing an uphill climb, it seems. So if they can just fix that, I'm not saying, like, you got to post zeros every time, but, like, the 6 to 8 run innings are just too tough to come back from. And they fought. They played, played very competitive. The bats especially have been very good here as of late. It's just that some defensive lapses in the field on a pop-up in the infield that drops, or, you know, walks are obviously a part of it. They can just fix that a little bit. They can compete. I'll tell you this. They can compete with any team that's on their schedule because their bats are that good.
There's going to be some loyal listeners that will remind, or this will remind them of the Aberdeen Smitties here. It reminds me of covering presentation women's basketball a time or two. They'd be down 13-11 after the first quarter, or up 13-11 in the first quarter. Second quarter comes and they get outscored 19-4 or something like that. It's the one bad quarter. If you avoid the bad quarter, you're in really good positions, and it's the same thing for them. If they can just avoid that one bad inning, they're as Matt McClure would say, they're chilling. As for the Redfield Clay Kaiser squad, they would take care of business yesterday over Webster Post 49-3. Chase Odlin picking up the victory in three innings. He scattered three runs. Two of them were earned. Also struck out six in the win there as well. Grady Holscher going 1-for-3 with three runs batted in for Redfield. And as it pertains to the schedule, I've seen two different things, but I'm going to go with the internet over my phone because my phone's probably 90 years old. Do believe it is Redfield Clay Kaiser coming to Aberdeen tomorrow against the Smitties.
Yep, I think that you're right on that. That's a senior night as well for the Smitties.
Right, because on my phone it says they're playing Sturgis. I'm like, for one game? That can't
be. No, they play Redfield on Wednesday.
Yeah, so it'll be Redfield v. Aberdeen. Looking forward to that there tomorrow. And the SDGA Junior Leg from yesterday at Lake Region Golf Course in Arlington. Check out our website, hubcityradio.com, for more details there. And also of note, Minnesota Twins, I really want to get to this maybe tomorrow on the show, but tied for the final wild card spot going into the All-Star break. We'll talk about that, I'm sure, a little bit more tomorrow on the Sports Hub as Terry Dosh will join us as well.